Today's reading is found in the book of Exodus, chapter 20, verses 1 and 2 and 7, and that can be found on page 77 of your church Bibles. Page 77, Exodus chapter 20, verses 1 and 2, and then 7. And God spoke all these words: I am the Lord your God, who brought you out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. You shall not misuse the name of the Lord your God, for the Lord will not hold anyone guiltless who misuses his name.
A very good morning, everyone. I'm just going to move some of these things here. Let me add my welcome to that, Lizzie. It's great to be with you and to share God's word with you this morning. It'd be great if you can keep that passage open as we look at it, and I'm going to begin our time together in prayer. Using the words from Psalm 113. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, you his servants. Praise the name of the Lord. Let the name of the Lord be praised both now and forevermore, from the rising of the sun to the place it sets. The name of the Lord is to be praised. Amen. I'm going to begin by reading some lyrics. I want to see if you can guess the artist of this song. An angel's smile is what you sell. You promised me heaven, but put me through hell. Chains of love get a hold on me. When passion's a prison, you can't break free. Woe, you're a loaded gun. Yeah, oh, there's nowhere to run. No one can save me the damage you've done. Shot through the heart, and you're to blame. You give love a bad name. I play my part and you play your game. You give love a bad name. Now, does anyone know? Bon Jovi, well done. Good. Yes. Now, this is a song about a manipulative partner playing games so much so that they make love, something that is good, feel destructive and dishonest. You give love a bad name. Now, when we speak of giving something a bad name or someone a bad name, it means damaging or discrediting them, dragging them through the mud. I can remember when I was at secondary school, the teachers would always say to us, like, even outside of school, if you're in uniform, you must behave properly. You represent the reputation of the school, and so don't give it a bad name. And I imagine that is probably true of any firm or organisation, service or company we belong to. Well, then consider how bad it is then for us to do that with God's name. Because there is no other name like the Lord's name. And as Christians, we are charged never to drag his name through the mud, to gut it of all its significance and worth. And this is what the third commandment is all about. You shall not misuse the name of the Lord your God. Now, as we've seen so far in this sermon series, the Ten Commandments is not a list of do's and don'ts. They are a means of worship for the children of God, a response of their redemption. Look again at how this commandment begins in verse 2. I am the Lord your God who brought you out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. See, the Israelites were free to worship God, but that was to be done in faithful obedience. And the same is true of the church. Christ's death brought us out of slavery from sin. We have been free to worship, but this is to be done in faithful obedience. That is the goal of the gospel. As the Apostle Paul writes in Romans 1, verse 5, through him we received grace and apostleship to call all the Gentiles to the obedience that comes from faith for his name's sake. It is for the Lord's name, for Christ's name, that we are to be faithfully obedient. Why? Well, because as I said, there is no other name like the Lord's name. His name is the greatest. His name is the highest. Jesus is the name above every name. You know, God's name carries the immense weightiness, the glory of one who has ultimate authority and absolute exaltation. He has no rival, no one higher in rank or station. He is sovereign and supreme. And the Exodus narrative, well, that helps us to see that. When Moses meets God in the burning bush, he reveals his name as I am who I am. And this wonderful revelation signifies God's unique character. His name is intrinsically tied to who he is and what he's done. It speaks of his self-existence, his eternal presence, his absolute authority. That he is uncreated, independent, unchanging. He is the covenant God, relational, personal, faithful. He can be known. He is the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, who keeps his promises and rescues his people. And time and again, we see that wonderful pattern through Scripture, from Egypt to Calvary. Think of Peter's words in Acts chapter 4. Salvation is found in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given to mankind by which we must be saved. And then further into the narrative of Exodus, we see in chapter 9, verse 16, the message Moses was to bring to the Israelites concerning God's name. He says, I have raised you up for this very purpose, that I might show you my power and that my name might be proclaimed in all the earth. So God is so majestic and glorious that he wants his name to be known to the whole world. And as a church, we play a vital role in that proclamation, just as the Israelites did all those years ago. We proclaim his name with honor and respect, with worship and praise. See, the Lord's name deserves to be lifted to the highest of heights of glory and renown, not dragged to the lowest depths of irreverence and irrelevance. We must not give God a bad name. Now, with that massive view of God, his name, in mind, what I want us to do is to consider two instructions as the third law commands us. So the Lord's name is the name above all names. So don't empty him of his weight and value. Rather, fill him up with reverent praise and worship. Let's take that first thing. The Lord's name is the name above all names. So don't empty God of his weight and value. Let's just read Exodus 20, verse 7 again. You shall not misuse the name of the Lord your God. Picture's about to come up on the screen. We might recognize this character from Janice from the TV show Friends. She's well known for their annoying, nasally catchphrase of, oh my God. It is usually accompanied by her sort of cackle, which is very much like nails on a chalkboard. Now that phrase, or how it's sort of abbreviated now as OMG, is what many have in mind when it comes to misusing the Lord's name. I guess saying Jesus or Jesus Christ in a flippant way would be another example. And yes, of course, it does include such words and phrases. It is a habit of speech that should not be on our lips. But the commandment goes further and deeper than just a few bad words. Now, in our Bibles, our church Bibles, the verse 7, it has the word misuse. You shall not misuse the name of the Lord your God. In other Bible versions, like the ESV, for example, it has, don't take the Lord's name in vain. And the meaning behind this word of misuse and vanity is to do with emptiness. So the idea is that we're not to empty, gut, the importance, the significance of God's name. What I've called his weight and his worth. God's name is glorious. It's heavy, weighty. It's also precious, of no greater value. And so if we take the Lord's name in vain, it's because we don't see it, that it has any significance or value. We are dragging his name through the mud. We're giving God a bad name. And we end up treating God like a commodity, like a vending machine, a personal genie. If we're coming to him for anything other than his own glory, we are cheapening him. Now, how might we do this? Well, there are several examples I think Scripture sort of develops from this commandment. One is Leviticus 19, verse 12. It says, "Do not swear falsely by my name, and so profane the name of your God. I am the Lord." In the Old Testament, profaning God's name was done by failing to keep an oath or vow taken in his name. Whoever used God's name to legitimize their oath and then broke it would imply a lack of reverence to God, for God, as well as a lack of fear of his divine retribution. And breaking an oath was effectively the same as denying God's existence. You know, many people try to sort of show their honesty, integrity, and trust by swearing oaths. I solemnly swear. I swear on my life, on the lives of my children, on the souls of my ancestors. Some will even swear to God, whoever their so-called God is. But believers have no need to make oaths in God's name. We're not to take oaths at all. During the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus fulfills this law by instructing us to let your yes be yes and your no be no. If God's name resides in us by his Spirit, a believer's word should be as good as God's. Now, this may be a challenge to some of us to consider the sort of integrity of our word. Can people take it on face value? Are we reliable and trustworthy? Is our yes, yes, and our no, no? Another way the scripture builds on this third commandment comes in 2 Chronicles chapter 33, verses 4 to 7. This is an account of the profane practices of King Manasseh, who led the people to worship foreign gods and set up altars in the temple. He went against the Lord God, who said, "My name will remain in Jerusalem forever." In the name of the Lord, Manasseh worshipped the stars, sacrificed children, and practiced divination and other forms of foul practices. And please don't think that we have moved on from that in society today. People are still praying to the altars of clairvoyance, convenience, and superstition. Even worse when it's done in God's name. as it is when people take Christ's name in their as their identity, but who deliberately and continually disobey his commands. Those who give false testimony. Those who proclaim a false gospel. Lies and heresy in God's name. In Philippians 2, verses 9 and 10, Paul proclaims that Jesus Christ has been given the name above all names, at which every knee must bow. When we take the name Christian upon ourselves, we must do so with an understanding of all that means. You see, if we profess to be Christians but act, think, and speak in a worldly or profane manner, we take his name in vain. We misuse his name. Now, in a sense, we are kind of like God's advertising agency. And so do we give him bad publicity in the way that we live? I hope not. So consider if you're living is somewhat of a double life. A Christian when I walk through those doors, but very different when I'm at work or I'm out with my mates or I'm at home with my family. You know, it's easy that concern for people can turn into gossip about that person. Easy to get caught up with the crude language with our mates down the pub. Easy to write that unkind post or that expletive rant on social media. Consider carefully then, this is something for all of us to perhaps think about, how we use our church WhatsApp groups, the Connect Chat, the one of the women's groups, and I think especially the men's group. I can speak more into that. You know, men, I believe that we have a role and a responsibility of leading this church in godliness. The Lord has a sense of humour, but not when it's crude or cruel. As Paul says, let no corrupting talk come out of your mouths, but only such as is good for building up and lifts the occasion, as fits the occasion, that it may give grace to those who hear. So it's important then that we all use such social platforms for encouragement and for prayer for one another. Alongside, of course, moments of fun and levity that give us joy but also honour God. Now, of course, I'm not trying to be the fun police here, but actually we should take God seriously. That's what the second half of Exodus 20, verse 7 reminds us of. God will not hold anyone guiltless who misuses his name. And if we don't take him seriously, well, then how will perhaps our children take him seriously? If we don't take him seriously, how will our non-Christian friends or family take him seriously? See, the Lord's name is the name above all names. So don't empty him of his weight and value. Instead, rather, fill him up with reverent praise and worship. This is the second instruction for us to think about. Fill him up with reverent praise and worship. Now, I think it's important that whenever we look at the Ten Commandments, we don't just sort of focus on the you shall not. No, we also want to see them from the side of you shall, the positive side perhaps. See, we're not to empty the Lord's name of its weight and value. We're to do the complete opposite. And that's something joyous and wonderful. We're to fill God up with reverent praise and worship. Now, by this, I don't mean that God is somehow empty and he kind of needs filling up like a car that's run out of petrol. It's simply a way to express the opposite of dragging God's name through the mud. It's lifting him up, putting the spotlight on him. pointing the sort of flashing neon arrow towards him. That proclaims to the whole world how awesome God is. This is what God deserves for who he is and what he's done for us. And I firmly believe that the more we sort of plunge into the depths of our Lord, his beautiful character and mighty deeds, the more it will lead us into wonderful, reverent worship every day. This is what will get us up each morning with a heart that is for Jesus. A shallow, superficial view of Christ will produce shallow, superficial praise and worship. So seek a big view of Jesus so that you might return big praise and worship to him. Let your lips and your living give him the praise and honor his name deserves. Now, in our final song this morning, we'll be singing these words. Your name is the highest. Your name is the greatest. Your name stands above them all. All thrones and dominions, all powers and positions. Your name stands above them all. Now, we can sing this at the end of church, no problem. We can be encouraged by everyone around us joining in, the music playing, feeling the Lord's presence with us. But will that worshipful heart continue when we leave here this morning? You know, lots of us, are struggling. Life is tough. Burdens of stress, of illness, job concerns, financial concerns, all sorts of worries. And it perhaps feels almost impossible to lift the name of the Lord when we feel so heavily laden with the weight of all we're going through. Well, let me encourage you to come to God's word for refreshment. Especially, let me encourage you to come to the Psalms. See, despite anxiety, fear, sadness, weakness, guilt, anger, grief, the psalmist saw the goodness of God in their lives, even when they were in the pit. And I dare say, reading a psalm a day will lighten the load. We do it in the church office every morning, and it wonderfully sets up the day. Perhaps our struggle, though, is that actually we come to realize that we just don't take God that seriously. We don't take his name that seriously. Perhaps we are just a bit too casual with his name. We don't really fear misusing it. We don't see the sin of misusing it. And perhaps it just leads an attitude of kind of apathy, irrelevance, maybe even an attitude of mocking, impudence, irreverence. But I think, again, the Psalms will help us. But perhaps we should actually look to our greatest example of how to treat our Lord God, and that is the Lord Jesus. He takes his Father seriously. He honours his name. We see that in the Lord's Prayer. Hallowed, holy be your name. That is the respect the Lord God deserves. So let's do likewise. Let your prayers acknowledge the greatness of our Heavenly Father. And why not look at the opening of the epistles as well? So many of them encourage us. See how the apostles honour the Lord. So often they begin with wonderful praise and blessing. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our troubles so that we can comfort those in the trouble with the comfort we ourselves receive from God. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. And praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade. See, the Lord's name is the name above all names. So don't misuse the name of the Lord your God. Don't empty him of his weight and his worth, his value. Fill him up with reverent praise and worship, because that is what he deserves. Now, as we finish, I want to use a song to read, to reflect on. Bit of a golden oldie. Some of us will recognise it. But perhaps use it, maybe if it helps, to close your eyes, just to think. To think about the name of the Lord. And then I'll close. Jesus is the name we honour. Jesus is the name we praise. Majestic name above all other names. The highest heaven and earth proclaim that Jesus is our God. Jesus is the name we worship. Jesus is the name we trust. He is the King above all other kings. Let all creation stand and sing that Jesus is our God. We will glorify. We will lift him high. We will give him honor and praise. Amen.